Amen. Turn with me tonight, would you please, to the book of Genesis. We're in chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, and I know there's probably the majority of you say, oh, wait a minute, Bill, not chapter 11. Unless you finished that last week, you're surely not, there can't be anything else but 20,000 names there. Well, let's look tonight. In Genesis chapter 11, beginning in verse 10, as we leave behind now all of this, And boy, I'll tell you, when we get into chapter 12, it's like a whole new world, you see, because we've covered thousands of years from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11. When we get into Genesis 12, we cover about from 12 all the way to, I think the end there, probably about 350 years. Isn't that amazing? So let's look beginning in verse 10. Let me read to you. It says, this is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And after he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years, begot sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Selah. And after he begot Selah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And after he begot Eber, Selah lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters, and Eber lived 34 years and begot Peleg. And y'all have that down. Just want to make sure I didn't lose anybody tonight. Okay, we're all on the same page, amen? Okay, now you remember Peleg. You know, it says over in Genesis 10:25, it says, when he was born in his day is when the earth was divided. And I believe personally, you know, does that speak of the problem with the Babel and the dispersive of all the nations and so forth? Or did it have to do with, the continents divided? Because it says the earth was divided. I kind of believe personally that is when the earth was divided. In other words, went into and started separating. Verse 17, and after he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begat sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begot Rahu. And Rahu, after he begot Rahu, Peleg lived 209 years, begot sons and daughters. And Rahu lived 32 years and begot Serug. And after he begot Serug, Rahu lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begot Nahor. After he begot Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and begot sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah, or Terah. And after he begot Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and begot sons and daughters. Now, I'll pick up the remaining verses in a moment. Aren't you glad? Now, let me say something. I read all that to you because I realize that all of you probably, if not all, you have never heard a sermon on these verses probably ever before in your life. Amen? Let's be honest about it. And I must admit, now listen, this is not where I turn to for my private devotionals, okay? And it's not where I turn in my prayer time at all. And I, like you, probably, maybe you're not like me, but I have difficulty pronouncing all the names and so forth, and there's nothing there. There's no information about them. I mean, there's not anything about there were mountains, there were trees, there were demons, there's a devil. There's nothing but a bunch of names, amen? But however, there is, in all God-breathed Scripture, a divine nugget. If you really take your time, God put it there for a reason. And there's always a nugget if you'll just dig long enough. Now, the genealogy of Shem, remember, that's the godly line that leads to the Messiah. It spans the period from the flood to the time of Abram, okay? Now, it's very important that we understand that this is an abbreviated list. It's not the total list. You can go into Luke chapter 3, which gives us this list as well, and you'll see that there are more people that are added. So we know that this is just an abbreviated list, and God is making a strong point. But what's interesting to me is that nations have already emerged. See, I don't know the time span. In other words, if you looked at verse 31 there, it says, as Abram is told to go into the land of Canaan. So that land of the nation, the Canaanites, are already in the land. They've already established cities. Matter of fact, if we went to Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, it says that there was a famine in the land, and Abraham, what did he do? Or Abram, he wasn't Abraham yet. No name change had occurred. He went down south. He went down to Egypt because of the famine. And then if you go into chapter 14 of Genesis, let me just read this in Genesis 14:8. And it says, "And the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela," that is Zoar, "went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Sidon." Now, all those kings. So nations have now come into being. So I don't know the time span, but I know that it's been long enough for the nations to, you know, the separation has occurred, the disbursement of the languages and the nations like we learned last time, they've already happened. And so it's been a long enough time span for the nations to be formed. Now, another thing that I find about this is that in this very, very tight genealogy is that, did you notice that as I read it, that death was never mentioned? In other words, they lived this long. Nowhere in there do you find death except when you get over toward the end about when Terah, when he passed on. And if you go to Genesis chapter 5, which you don't have to turn there because I'm not, but it says, if you'll remember that genealogy, Genesis chapter 5 and chapter 6, it says, "And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died." So Genesis 5 and 6 then, look at it this way, stresses death before the flood. But after the flood, Genesis 11 and following stresses life. So the mood of our text is going to change. Now just bear with me, because I really am going to go someplace tonight, okay? And so God is taking us someplace because from 11:10 and following, the mood, as I said, is changing. Now, the main point of this genealogy is to trace the seed of woman. Remember the promise that was given in Genesis 3:15, the promise that the Messiah would come through the seed of woman. And so we know that Shem is the godly line, and his genealogies allow us to trace the godly seed from Noah, who was blessed by God, all the way to Shem and on down to Abram, who was blessed by God as well. And then it says in Genesis 12:3, this one man that God has selected, Abram, that it says that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through him. Why? Because from him, all the way down the genealogies now, the list of people that are going to be born in this godly line will bring forth finally our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That's why it says in Matthew 1:1, it opens like this. "This is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Isn't that interesting? Now, when we left off the last time, we know that Nimrod and his followers, they wanted to make a name. Remember that? They wanted to make a name for themselves. There in chapter 11, verse 4, and they wanted to make a name for themselves. And Nimrod and all the group that followed him, they willingly left the Lord. They knew that God was real, and they willingly turned away from the true God. Now, with all that being said, they wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to build a city. Remember all of that. I want you to go back now, and let's begin at Genesis 11, verse 10, with the genealogy of Shem. And let's get into our message tonight. It says, "This is the genealogy of Shem." Again, Shem is the godly line that leads to Abram, which will finally lead to the Messiah. And I want to ask you a question. If you were here last week, how many people remember what the name Shem means in Hebrew? That hurts the pastor. If you dig long enough in the Word of God, there's something, and I go, "Lord, why did you give us all these names? Why are they all there? I mean, Lord, I know there's a reason. I know that you want to show us the genealogy. I know that we're to trace it through, and I know that your word is always true." But the key to this text is we complete chapter 11, and then we move into a whole new world in chapter 12. And I tell you, when I saw this in my heart, and I don't know if I can even teach it. I don't even know that what I'm about to say to you tonight that you'll really understand. Not that you're not intelligent, but maybe because I cannot articulate what's in my heart. Sometimes the emotion that's in your heart, and you know what you know inwardly, but it's very difficult to express it outwardly. Are you following me? It's kind of like telling somebody that you're really in love with, and you just go, "I just want you to know I love you. I mean, I really love you." No, let me say it again. I really love you. You understand? Because you're trying to say how much you love them, and you can't. It's just, "I really love you." Well, there's really something here in these verses that we so overlook, that we don't meditate on the Word of God. And tonight as we look at that, the word Shem, we know what it means. Somebody just said it a moment ago. It means in Hebrew, name. Amen? It's interesting. It means name. Now listen, Shem really means this. The genealogy, what God is saying to us tonight from His Word is this. We, like Shem, like Noah, like Abraham, we are the people of the name. Are you listening to me? We are the people of the name. That's what He's saying here in His Word. He said, this is the genealogy of Shem. Listen, mankind, they want to still build towers, you know, for themselves and cities unto themselves and so forth, and they still want to make a name for themselves. It says, what did God tell Abraham? Look at Genesis 12, 2. In a contrast, He says to Abraham, He said, Abraham, or Abram, I will make you not a great city. That's what the world wanted. Remember, that's what they wanted in Babel or Babel. He says, I'll make you a great, not a great city, but a great nation. And watch this. I will bless you and make your what? Name great. Well, see, this people in the city of Babel, they wanted to make themselves a name. Remember from last week? And God says, oh, no, they want a name, all right. But listen, you're going to be a people of the name that is above every name. Amen? And that's what God is showing us tonight. Listen, we are the people of the name, the greatest name in all the world, in all of the universe. Remember the Bible said in Proverbs 18:10, when I ended last week, I said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Is that where you run to? Are you running to the Lord? If you are, that's where you're going to be safe. He's the object of our faith. Now look at Genesis 12:8, where Abraham here in Genesis 12:8. It says, and Abraham, he moved from there, or Abram, there to a mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. See, the nations are already formed, the cities are already there. And he built an altar to the Lord, and look what he did. He called on the what? The name. He is a person of the name. He called on the name of the Lord. And we are a people of the name. Turn with me in your Bibles. You're going to do some turning tonight. Turn to Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. There when Moses, God told Moses, said, I've heard the cry of the bondage of my people in Egypt. And I've come down to see it. And God tells Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. And you tell Pharaoh, you let my people go. And Moses, remember, says, well, Lord, who am I? Who am I? I'm not anyone. I'm nothing. And what am I going to tell the children of Israel? And look at verse 13. And then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers, in other words, from the line of Shem, he says, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? We are a people of the name that is above all names tonight. He says, what am I going to tell them? What's your name? And what shall I say to them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am. In other words, that right there is just the letters in the Hebrew YHWH. In other words, we say Jehovah or Yahweh. And he says, you tell them that I am. And moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord your God, the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. And what is this? This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Now listen carefully. We are the people of the name. That's what's so powerful about that genealogy of Shem. It's saying that these people, and not every one of them follow the Lord in that genealogy, by the way. But say, out of that, there were those who followed my name, who believed in me, who trusted in me. Did you know the words there where it says, I am who I am, or where he just says, you just tell them that I am. Did you know that God's name was considered so holy by the Jewish people that they would not even speak it? They wouldn't even say it. Matter of fact, it was so holy that the scribes, when they recorded the word of God, did you know that the scribes would take a bath before they even wrote the name of God? The name that is above all names. And then after they took a bath and they wrote his name, they would destroy the pen that they put it in there with. We're talking about the name of God. We're talking about he is the I am. Listen, our Father is the I am, the self-existent one, the one who needs nothing, the one who can do anything. He is everything. Do you understand? In other words, he was saying, Moses, I am all you need. May I say to you tonight, we are the people of the name. The greatest name, the most powerful. All that God is in his name. And all that that name implies, you have tonight. We don't believe enough of the Bible. We don't. We don't dig enough into the Bible. You know what? I encourage you. There are over 1,000 times in the Bible the word name is used. I encourage you to just go to the software, if you have a software program, Bible software, and just type it in. And look at every one, specifically throughout the Old Testament, and especially in the Psalms, where it talks about the name of God, the name of the Lord, over and over and over and over. We are people of the name. Do you know that we could put our name not in the genealogy that leads to the Messiah, but after that? Because, see, we are sons and daughters of God now. Amen? Now, listen. The Bible tells us that he is the I am. David put it this way. He said, the Lord. Actually, it says in the Hebrew, the Lord is my shepherd, but is not in the Hebrew. It says, the Lord, my shepherd, not is my shepherd. The Lord, Jehovah, my shepherd, in other words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not, the word want means lack. I shall not lack any good thing because why? He's the I am. I am one of the people of his name. I believe in his name. He is here tonight. What did Jesus say? Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. He's right here. Are we gathered in his name tonight? Yes, we are. Listen to the song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, verse 3. Let me read it to you. Moses, as he's singing this song out to the children of Israel, he says this, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God." Listen, we live in a world today where the name of our Lord is taken in vain. In other words, it's a cuss word. Now, you know, cussing, I don't like cussing. Cussing doesn't bother me too much anymore. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about me cussing. I'm just talking about hearing people cuss. I only cuss when I'm alone. But any time or anywhere, a restaurant or a movie on TV or even a sitcom, today it doesn't matter. You can listen to the news. But to hear God's name taken in vain hurts me. When someone damns God, are you listening to me? And they use his name. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Amen? That's a commandment. The Bible says, Leviticus, do not profane the name of God. It's holy. He's holy. He's the great I am. So Moses said, I proclaim the name of the Lord. Listen to verse 4 of Deuteronomy 32. He says, he is the rock. He's not a rock. He is the rock. Remember one of my favorite verses, Psalm 61:2? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock, which is higher than I. Amen. So he says, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. The psalmist has written in Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and listen to this, and will sing praise to the name. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High, singing to the name of the Lord, all that that name implies, all that He is. Do you know in the Word of God, from when we start Genesis chapter 12, all the way through, what is God going to be doing? He's going to be revealing Himself in different names to Abram. All the way through, even to the book of Ezekiel. I believe it ends in Ezekiel with Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. The Lord is there. He's always revealing Himself through His name. We are the people of the name. Amen? That's what the conclusion there in Genesis chapter 11 is all about. It says in Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. In other words, the war machines, if you will, of that day. But we will remember the name, all that that name implies, the name of the Lord our God. The object of David's faith when he wrote that psalm was the name of the Lord. What name do we have that is the object of our faith? Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Turn to 2 Chronicles in your Bible. You can find it. Turn it. Just keep turning. You'll see it. It's somewhere. Right? I think it's right after Kings, isn't it? Let's look. Is it? Well, you already got me beat. Okay, that's 1 Chronicles. Then go to 2 Chronicles. Look at chapter 7. And I know you know this by heart. And look at verse 14. I want you to look at this timeless promise. It's a timeless promise, not just to the children of Israel. It's a timeless promise to us all. Now, what does he say? If my people who are what? Called by my name. If my people who are called by my name, we are the people of the name. Are you listening to me? Oh, get this into your spirit, into your heart tonight. We're the people of the name. He says, if, there's a condition. If what, Lord? If my people, the people that are saved and blood bought and names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the ones that I've sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, the one that I've given all 8,000 promises to, or over 8,000 promises in the Word of God. He says, if my people, oh, that are called by my name, goes all the way back to Shem, doesn't it? Are you listening to me? Goes all the way back to Noah, God bless Noah. With you, Noah, I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And then he made the covenant with the rest of Abraham and all the way on down, Isaac and Jacob, David. He says, if my people who are called by the greatest name in all of the universe, that name that implies everything that I am the creator, sustainer, I am everything that a person needs. If the people that are called by my name will do something, God says, will you humble yourselves? Walk in humility. Will you turn the other cheek? If you will humble yourselves, the Word of God says, I will exalt you. He says, if you will humble yourselves and do what? And get down on your knees and what? Pray. Pray. Petition me. You're the people of my name. If you will humble yourselves, if you will pray, and if you'll do something else, if you will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. In other words, our self-centeredness and the love of the world, the things of this world, whatever. Look what God says He will do. I will hear from heaven. And what else? Forgive. I will forgive their sin. Look what else He will do. I will heal their land. Oh, does our land need healing? I'm telling you, we need some major surgery. Amen. We need healing tonight. Remember what Jesus said when the disciples came to Him and said, Lord, would you teach us to pray as John has taught his disciples to pray? And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, 9, 10, right in there, He said, therefore, after this manner, or after this outline, or after this divine outline, if you will, after this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Are you following me tonight? Are you getting what I'm saying? We are the people of the name. The name, the only name. He says, hallow my name. When is the last time that you started out in your prayer time hallowing the name of God? Do you know what it means to hallow the name of God? It means, in other words, to thank God for all that He is, for all that his name implies. I mean, first of all, out of over 80 Old Testament names of God, there Jesus said, I want you to say, our Father, which art in heaven. He chose the word Father first. Father implies relationship. God cannot be our Father unless we are born again and in Christ. Amen? So by virtue of being born again, by that relationship, we now can call God, Abba, Father. Lord, I hallow your name. I'm in my prayer time and I'm saying, oh God, there's no one like you. I hallow the name of God. There's so many. Can I just give you a few of the names of God tonight? Let me just give them to you. Here's one, Jehovah Tsidkenu. That means Jehovah or God, our righteousness. Think about that. God, our righteousness. God is a thrice holy God. He is a perfect God. Amen? He says, I'm your righteousness. Hallowing his name. How about this one? Jehovah Emkadesh, which means Jehovah sanctifies. Or Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah is peace. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah is there, meaning he's present with us. Jehovah Rohi, meaning he is our healer. Jehovah Jireh, you've heard that. We sing that song, Jehovah Jireh. In other words, God is our provider. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah is my banner. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. We could go on and on and on, hallowing the name of God. We are people of the name tonight. Just like Shem, they were a people of the name. You remember what Jesus said in John 14, 13? He said this to the Christians, to the believers, those that believe in his name. He said this, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in my name, listen to what the Lord says, that I will do. And the reason? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now listen to what he says. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What are you going to do with that verse? What is the church of Jesus Christ, the people that are called by his name, the people of the name? What are we really going to do with that verse? Well, you know what we try to do, a lot of teachers, and I'm not beating anybody up, any teacher, that's a wonderful scripture, but you know what I mean. Not everything. Well, I don't know, it's what it said. Well, it has to be the will of God. Of course it has to be the will of God. Well, what is the will of God? The Word of God. Does God want your next door neighbor saved? Huh? Well, yes, he does. Is he going to be saved? I don't know. You praying for him? Are you the ambassador? Are you talking to him about Jesus? I'm not putting you under pressure. You've already been equipped to do that. I'm not telling you anything you can't do. That's not the law. That's grace. By grace, you can do it all. You stand in the unmerited favor of God. You can tell people about Jesus all day long. They won't do anything but get mad at you or get saved. Jesus said, anything you ask. Oh, Lord, that scares me. I mean, I can ask a whole lot. The Bible says in Ephesians, 3:20, it says that God is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above what? All that you can ask or think according to the power that worketh in you. That's the Holy Spirit. What are we going to do with that verse? We are the people of the name, and we should never put God in some kind of theological box and say, now, Lord, I know that you said that nothing is impossible for you, but, you know, I have a hard time believing in anything anyway. I just trust you. I'm saved. Thank the Lord. And I'm just going to make it, even though that things are not working out in my life. And I'm just going to live daily and, you know, Lord, whatever. Listen, I would rather live believing God. I would rather fight. I would rather say, you know what, Lord? Yeah, I may be falling apart. I see my body. I see the problems. I see the finances. I see the hell in my kid's life. I see it all. But I am going to believe in you because I'm a man of the name. I believe in you, Lord. I may not even understand it. I may not even understand your word, but I am going to believe it. I believe it, Lord. And like it says in Psalm 78, therefore do not limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't draw a line in the sand and say, Lord, I know you can do anything, but you can't do any more than that. Nothing is too hard for God. Amen? See, we're talking on Sundays about faith, about walking in faith, about believing God, about believing what he says. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that everything's going to work out perfectly in your life. It doesn't mean your job is going to be the greatest thing in the world. It doesn't mean any of those things. But it does mean this. I know who I'm looking at. not denying my problems. I'm not denying the issues of life, but I'm looking at the one whose name is greater than any name in the universe. And I'm a person of that name. Amen? And all that that name is, God says, I will help you with it. What do you really need that I can't make for you? One of the names for God is El Shaddai. You know what that means? Literally, let me give you the Bill Quinn translation. If I don't have it, whatever you ask for, if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. I'm El Shaddai. Are you listening to me? We are the people of the name, just like there, that lineage of Shem that starts out. It's all about God saying, now these people are people of the name. And that's who we are tonight. It says in Acts 4:12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Listen to me. That verse is 2,000 years old. We are the people of no other name. Amen? No other name. Listen, there is no other name in India. There's no other name in Saudi Arabia. There's no other name in Africa. Or there's no other name anywhere under heaven that'll save you. Do you listen to me? That'll save a person. None. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. There's not another name in all of the world, in any generation, that can save a person except the name of Jesus. Jesus. We are the people of no other name. Roman 10:13 says, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. John 1:12, Jesus said, as many as received him, them he gave them the right to become children of God, those who believe in his name. Christian, listen, we are the people of the name that is above all names. Philippians 2:9, let me read it to you. Therefore, God has highly exalted, that means to the highest place, highly exalted Jesus and given him not a name, but the name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, did you catch that? At the name of Jesus, say that word with me, Jesus. Jesus, at that name, the name that just came across your lips, the name that is above every name in the universe, it says, at the name of Jesus, every, not some, every knee should bow. Those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. I guess that takes care of everything, doesn't it? And that every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Have you followed me now? We are the people, as we close out Genesis 11, as we've studied, taking our time with every chapter, dissecting it, because the first 11 chapters are so important to your understanding, to the rest of the Bible. Now, as we turn back to Genesis chapter 11 and look at verse 26, we're people of the name. Now, watch this. Now, Terah lived 70 years. Genesis 11, 26. Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, Haran. Now, from now on, we're going to follow the line of Shem all the way to Calvary, where Jesus cries out in John 19:30, he'll cry and say, it is finished. Amen? So this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, Haran. Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in his native land in Ur of the Chaldees. So we're not told how Lot's father died. We're just told that he died, and no doubt Uncle Abram took him underneath his wings. And then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And you remember now, we'll learn later on, as you already know, she's going to remain childless until she's what? 90 years of age. And Terah took his son, Abram, his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from where? Ur of the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now listen, was Terah, Abram's dad, a believer? I don't think he was. Let me tell you why. Let me read it to you. Joshua 24:2. It says, "And Joshua said to all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, they dwelt on the other side of the river in the old times." In other words, they're in Babylon, okay? Probably not far from the Tower of Babel. And it says, "And they served other gods." Now, they're inheriting all the area there in what's called Mesopotamia, but actually it's Babylon. They served the moon god, okay? Now, Terah then was an idolater, worshipped idols. Let me ask you a question. Was Abram an idolater? You know, I look at this and I don't know. I do know this, that God is always the initiator. God called you. God chose you. God wants you. God wants to help you, bless you, lead you, guide you. God wants you to know him. So what did God do to Abram? It says in Acts 7:2, it says this, "And the God of glory appeared to Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia," that's Babylon, "before he dwelt in Haran," before they ever left the Ur of the Chaldees, before we even get into chapter 12, God had already appeared to Abraham. And I'll tell you what, Abraham had a change. He became a person of the name, amen? Now listen very carefully. We don't know why they stopped in Haran. Maybe Terah was ill, I don't know. But I do know this, thus our story now begins. And now we find this family who are bound for the land of Canaan. And we're going to have the most exciting time as we go through Genesis, because the people that are going into the land of Canaan are the people of the name. Amen? Now listen very carefully. The Bible tells us. Matter of fact, I want you to see something. Turn with me. Let me give you just a little bit more tonight. Look at Mark in the New Testament. Go to Mark chapter 16 with me. Look at verse 14. In the giving of the Great Commission, Jesus there. Mark 16:14. It says, "Later he," meaning Jesus, "appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and the hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them," now listen very carefully, he says, "go into all the world." Amen? "Preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe." Now listen, that's just not the disciples that are those that are going to be the new disciples. Those who believe and are baptized, the new converts. "And these signs will follow those who believe." Not just the disciples, not just the apostles rather. "And in what? My name." My name. We are people of the name. He says, "In my name," look what they will do. Look what we will do. "They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." They will take up serpents. Should we get out the snakes tonight? Listen, one more scripture. Turn to James. Go to James right after Hebrews. We're going to close. Just hold on. Be patient with me tonight. James chapter 5, right after Hebrews, verse 13. "Is anyone among you suffering?" Talking about here in the church, talking about tonight. Well, here's what you need to do. Pray. "Is anyone cheerful?" Here's what you're to do. Let him sing psalms, not rock songs, psalms. Amen? "Is anyone among you," what? "Sick." Well, what are you to do? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the... Isn't that funny? "In the name of the Lord." In the name of the Lord. Oil is not going to heal you. Oil is a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit of God. It's a point of contact, a point of faith. This is a New Testament principle. Is there anyone sick? Are you without strength? Are you hurting? You have a responsibility then. Yes, go to the doctor. Jesus is the great physician. But he says, listen, you have another thing that you should do as well. You call for the the church, the elders there. I'm an elder of this church. He says, you call, let him pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now look at that one more time. It says, who does the raising up? Who? The Lord, not man. Do you know man has nothing going for him at all? It says the Lord will raise you up, not man. The Lord. The Lord will be glorified. You know, listen to me. I know I need to stop. Listen, God is real. And we are people of the name. We're not charismatic. We're not Pentecostal. We're not holy rollers. We are people of the name. Now listen, I know I need to close, but see, I'm being obedient tonight, and you know that I love you, and you know I never do weird things. I only do what the Lord wants me to do. This is a Wednesday night. This is a family night. You know, I remember in our home fellowship, I could tell you many things what God has done, but for some reason the Lord brought this to my heart tonight, and I know I need to share it. But I remember in our home fellowship, and when we first started Calvary, there at my house, there was a woman that just came to the Lord. Her name was Ingrid. She was from Norway. Then her husband comes finally. He comes. He's from Ireland. He's an Irishman. He didn't like me at all. But he gets saved. But they could not have children. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord speaks to me. And he said to me in my heart, I want you to go over to the man. And I want you to lay your hands upon him and simply say this. I speak life into your body in the name of Jesus. Could not have children. Spent $35,000 trying to, you know what I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden, two little miracles were born. We still get pictures from them all the time, from Norway. I don't understand healing. I don't understand God, to be honest with you. I don't even understand why I was called to preach God's word, believe me. But one thing I do know is that God is real and that God loves us and that God is a healer. I don't know how he heals. I don't know when he heals or what he does, but he is a healer. So tonight, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I don't even have to call you down tonight. I don't even have to have a prayer line. I was going to do that tonight, but I don't think I even need to do that. I just need you to say, Bill, I am sick in my body. And you do that as our heads are bowed, and you lift your hand and say, Lord, I'm sick in my body. If that's you, do it quickly now. Let me see. And put your hands back down. Thank you. Lord God, tonight, I don't even know how to pray. But I know that somehow or another, for this people that are called by your name, the people of your name, O Lord, I bring them to you, the ones that are sick, the ones with infirmities, the ones with disease in their body. I ask you to do what only you can do. You said in your word that you would lift them up, that you would raise them up. Lord, I don't need to anoint them with oil. You anoint them with the Holy Spirit right now. That's what that is a symbol of. Lord, you don't even really need me to lay hands on the sick because it says, pray ye one for another that you may be healed. I don't have anything in my hands. I don't have anything to give them at all except you. And that is what I give them tonight. In your mercy and in your grace, those who want children, would you bless the fruit of their womb. Those with children that are suffering, the prayers and the cries that have gone up to the throne of grace. I pray for a miracle for them. And Lord, for the brokenhearted and those that are so full of shame, I thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ coming upon them, touching them, and making them whole. There is no one like you, Lord. Touch them. Heal them. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight?